about the tattooing on the skin here.
Just so much.
On the women. But also that some of the Siberian women had more tattooing out here on the cheek. Like this?
No, from the mark they checked
a V line that went from the edge of the corner of the mouth up and then down along the cheek.
So you see that pigeon down the stairs and that careless gap?
Yes.
On the side?
Yes.
The woman sitting down on top of the eyes?
Yes.
With his naked?
Yes.
And the fellow was with those pigeons in his name.
Yes.
He seen that himself and drew the picture of it.
Oh.
And they've come to that ice and they're looking for Ugu. They thought there might be some Ugu on land right in the middle of that ice. They climb up on those rough ice and they see that lady sitting down. The way they see he drew it, with the hair hanging down on the back but no clothes. But they didn't notice he had her feet in the water, like that, feet in the water. And so they didn't go over, they might see something happen if they let her know. So they just get away before she noticed them.
Well, now,
the way they start, in Siberian coast, when a young lady become a woman, they always put the tattoo on her.
Right over there?
All over. I've seen a lot of it. And then, when the young lady...
They mark their arms, too. With straight lines, or...
Just made on an anchor, or some animal to their body.
Uh-huh.
So it's like they were the easy of breathing and giving the animal easier, I guess, or something. And the mark, I've seen a lot of Eskimo ladies, they have a mark right there.
Yeah.
And then they put one up here, quite small.
Small enough between the eyebrows.
One little line.
One little line between the eyebrows.
Maybe 2-3 needle holes.
Ah.
The mark is made out of the charcoal.
Yeah.
And
sinew.
They tap it to the sinew and then work it through and then another one on. And then that mark was for life.
Mm-hmm.
For life.
Go ahead, Paul.
And then when the young lady, when she become a woman, when they didn't put tattoo on her, she started going out through the ocean. Sometimes they never catch the lady because he can run faster than anybody and he just shoot right straight out through the ocean. That's how those women stayed on the ocean. They're still alive. And the one, Kikitora Moses, she's the one that run out from Siberian coast. But no, they said no women goes out from this side.
Ellis Smith was also saying that he's heard stories where if the young ladies aren't tattooed, they are told that they get restless to the point where, like he says, they go out to sea, you know. But if they tattoo them, then they return normal. This is on the Siberian women, but she says she's never heard it from people on this side.
Very good. I'll have to go down and take a picture of that drawing of Moses.
He puts alongside of the counter, see, on this side. You see that. And there were three men, James Moses and two others from Sesmira. They went out with a symbol on the front of Sesmira. They saw a big ice, they go down there, and they come through the ice, and one fellow go up on top of the ice first, and he look, and for a second he turn around, and wait to those other fellows, and they come. And they all stand up and look at it. They use gloves or canagra. They look at his right toes, just like you will write those to me, just like that. They James Morgan Spencer, the one, he's a printer, you know. He took that picture. He looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
So after a while, when he become an artist, he think about that and go. So that's the way he tell it, he said.
Interesting.
Nana had a bunch of those pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So they used to draw it. They used to sell them. When I worked at Summer there for a while, I used to sell those pictures for $1 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
I think they sell somebody selling it a piece.
Mm-hmm.
I made quite a few dollars. One time I nearly got $1,000 in my cash register. When a lot of people come from the state.
Oh, the tourists came.
The tourists.
Uh-huh. Very good.
You see women in costumes making those stuff with the tourists like, it's time now to make it. That's not when the tourists come in. Because tourists like to have those things. What the Eskimo mean? They go up there, when somebody sent it, that stuff from another village, they sold them here. When they sent it to the person, last summer, somebody handed me 10 mats made out of a bone. It wasn't in good shape either. And he told me, sell these for $30 a piece. And I sold every one of them to tourists. Some of them gave two. And besides that, I sold my book to tourists.
Mm-hmm.
The winter time is pretty slow for selling my book. But in the summertime, I ordered 100 books. In the week time, they're gone. I sell my books for $5 to the tourists.
Mm-hmm.
My lawyer told me to sell it for $5.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good picture.
And I got a letter again another day from Lucky and his wife. And they said, magazine people like to have your picture. Your dancing picture. If you had some, please send to us. So I sent them before. I never heard anything yet from them again when they got it, but they got it. That Letterman and his wife, they're going to come up this spring, June.
Mm-hmm.
They wrote me a letter.
I have a letter from them today. I haven't read it yet.
Mm-hmm. So you tell them I was with the group, with that little people group.
I will.
And tell them that my daughter died 2 days ago.
I wrote them last night and told them.
Mm-hmm.
So they know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. Let's ask... the other day, we were talking about looking ahead at the future. Is there any way that Eskimos could foretell or could see what was ahead 1 week, 2 weeks ahead of time, going to get sick?
You know that Mr. Moore could exist. He's one of them.
Yeah.
He's the one that told me. I told you already.
Yeah.
About the caribou. Gonna come back.
Yeah.
Windy up in this area, they're gonna be gone. And those two words he told me, they come true. And the next one is the one. Third one is gonna be the caribou gonna disappear.
Right.
They will never. You don't think they will come back?
This is what I'm getting at, is something like some people in the world, premonition or. They look at viscera of animals, and they know how to read signs. Or they look at the shoulder blades, capsulomancy, they know, look at the shoulder blades, and they see something of what's going to happen. Did you ever hear of anything like this?
I heard very rarely along that, but that can be kind of a rare belief, this thing.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes it seems to be that some feeling that something's going to happen.
Yeah.
And at times you don't even know exactly what it is, but it seems to be happening. And you know, and I have to warn him for something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, but I didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think you do
they use their arms to know, you know?
Yeah.
To know, I guess.
Yeah, that's what comes in here.
I think in specific cases, so.
Yeah.
That's
what I was saying. Just like I think that many old people really know when they're going to die, a few hours or a few days ahead of time. They can feel within themselves that life process is slowing down.
Yeah, like in the case of my grandparents, I was raised by my grandparents, and I really wanted to go away to go to school. And they didn't allow me to go for a couple of years, but the desire to get an education was there. And finally, they consented to let me go. Now, as if they could look into the future, they admonished me. My grandmother told me that if I should become ill, that I should use my will to live if I ever became ill.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing my grandfather said is before I left, he had me make arrangements to start getting logs down here to build a house at Pauline George's in Nome. He said, in the future, when I came home, he wanted me to have a house to sleep in, as if he could see what my life was going to be, you know, that I would be coming here, but not living here, but he wanted me to have a house to sleep in. Now, as it turned out, I got pneumonia when I lived in the cold country, I mean, damp country down there, and evidently a scar that I had, a tubercular scar that I had first, and then I came down and had tuberculosis, you know, I had to rest. And because I didn't have the resistance, I was in the hospital a long time, and I had surgery and had different experiences where I had to use the will to live in order to survive. So I don't know if it was because that they knew me so well because they raised me, or if they felt inspired to advise me this way.
Mm-hmm.
But the things that they advised me happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That if I became ill, that I should use my willpower to overcome the illness.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was hard on the parents to lose an offspring, you know.
Right. Yeah, I think that answers my question. Mm-hmm.
They used to say about an early day, you know, malaria.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have it covered. You never have covered people like that, huh?
No. It's called a bad place. A rough place.
No.
A person named Manila.
Manila.
We do have some information on him on the work that I did for Senate.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You've got the right answer to that.
The Amber people, the Kobuk people, he was a Kobuk person, and they considered him a prophet among the people because his powers were not like the rest of the Amatuk. It was they couldn't find it anywhere in the subterranean from where they had their powers. And when he was breaking the taboos, he traveled, and there were certain taboos, like the ladies, you know, in her monarchy,
mm-hmm.
when they had to stay by themselves, he said that, and the women who want to have their children in a little hut by themselves, he said eventually that would be no more, you know. And some other things that he foretold, okay, because some of these taboos that the medicine men imposed on the people were being broken, it angered them, and they wanted to destroy him. But and so they went looking for his powers and couldn't find it. And so they felt that his powers were from the upper direction, because the Amatuk had no power over a certain height. And he had a pole that he would stick on the ground, like a flagpole with a string on it. And when that string started, you know, even on a still day, when it started vibrating, then he knew there was a message. And then the thoughts would come to him, and he would start to prophesy, and that was his contact.
Hmm.
And so, for the people, he made life easier, much as those three brothers, who killed the animals that would kill the people, you know, and the monsters, you might say, the monsters of the area, including a huge bird that would take a man fly away with him. Where those three brothers took care of these beastie type of things, then this manita took care of the taboos, a certain area of the taboos, and made life easier also for the Eskimo. And he also foretold that Ambler, at that time, you know, what was not a city, was not a village or anything. People used to camp there, but he said, in the future, Ambler will become a city. I can see the light from here up to the Jade Mountain. He said, and that's because of the activity of the mountains, in the mountains where the riches would be found, the city would grow. And so, about 1959 or 67, somewhere in that area, some families from Chungnat moved to Ambler because fishing is close, hunting is close, it's a good place to live. And several families have come in, so now they have quite a few left.
Yeah.
They have quite a few people, and others still coming in, and even some white people moving in.
That's fairly close to the copper mine, is it not?
Yeah, one of the first things that he prophesied was there would be a ship flying over the air, you know, he didn't know what else to call it. And he prophesied the coming of the airplane from the direction of Koba through the river. Yeah.
From the east.
And he said in it there would be a person that we could understand. There would be an Eskimo person in there also. And that's how it turned out. They flew over the river and landed there. And there was one Eskimo there that they could talk with.
You know who he was?
I could probably put the name.
Who was the Eskimo?
You remember him, maybe?
Yupep? Do we have any dates when he lived or died? Is he this century? Must be with the airplane, to predict the airplane.
Must be very early in the 1900s. Must have been. Eventually, he moved up to Northwest Territory in Canada.
Yes.
And he has a granddaughter or something up at Barrow. He took his daughter and his son with him, and he went to Canada. And I think Delacite knows some of his descendants that she met up at Barrow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they came over from Canada or if they lived there, but Andrew said something that I haven't heard, that, you know, he lived in the days when the Eskimos slept on their, on the floor, you know. But he had an elevated bed made of logs.
I think we're onto something here.
Mm-hmm.
Something of the thing that John is looking for.
Right.
Let's take a break for a moment, shall we? Yeah, I have a little coffee break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just got to the first plane to land in America.
Can I tell you?
I get to get home.
The sight of a whale, sight of a black whale to be seen up in that area. So now they don't know if it's going to actually be a real whale or something that looks like a whale. That's the kind of talk that I keep getting. Some people think it's going to be a real whale that'll surface up there, you know, in one of their waters, and others think it might be something else that looks like a whale, like a landing craft, a black landing craft or something. So so we don't know at this point.
Spaceship?
No, it's supposed to surface from the water.
Submarine.
But there are areas along the rivers where the earth is just floating, you know, and under is water, and that's how somewhere in the delta area of the Cobalt, you know, where some of the people have perished because they didn't know they camped on this floating tundra.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, some of them fell through and perished. And in that spot, once in a while, a skull will surface. Because there's still a movement, you know. I think that there'd be a lot more people today if these disasters like that had happened.
How widespread, how general is knowledge about Manila? Does everybody...
She knew of him. In fact, she reminded me of the whale.
So it's known to Kivalina and up the Cobalt,
uh-huh.
Noah Tass side,
uh-huh.
Buckland.
Oh, yeah. I think Manila can hear. Can you meet the sound of me back room? Because somebody mentioned about his breaking the taboos in the season of hunting the beluga. I don't know if it happened in Buckland or if it happened in Pozole. One of the two.
It does inquire into this.
Yeah, because
these are the things we're beginning to dig into.
Yeah. But if we read the translations of the work that I did this summer,
mm-hmm.
a lot of that information is in there.
Are there any other prophets like this that anybody knows about, like Manila, who were positive, not the evil medicine men, but were positive? Kind of a folk hero.
Let me look in your bed, in your cockpit. Manila is down with it now, he will summit or cut la ron. There was Manila and his prophecies, okay? there were the three brothers and their fixing of the country, you know, making it safe from those beaches. There was also a Castel Misluk, and they say there are the adventures of Castel Misluk are so many that the old folks said they could tell one of a story about him every night for a month. And his thing mainly was fixing up nature, you might say, I think. And because he'd come to a group of people who had some kind of defect. And then when he was through and started to leave, he'd realize they'd either be a bird family or an animal family. And there's a long story on this also.
All right. This is extremely good.
When they tell me about him, he starts at Stone of Silk, and it's marked on the map where the Kayakel of the Silk starts from, you know, that's where he's born. And when his grandmother was a young girl, I guess she had always heard of the story too, and she went with some older kids, and they went up. And at that time, the logs, the posts of the house were still standing, and a lot of grass, you know, like grass will grow in a place where they once had a house. And some of the people, I guess, dug into it and found some artifacts from there. But right now, he says it's kind of a mound of gravel, you know.
I've been up there about a couple of years ago in that place there where they have sawing and stuff left.
Mm-hmm.
It's still up like that, you know, way up like that. That house, you can see, I mean, that big roof?
You can.
Yeah, it could be. Right behind that stone of silk. When I worked with Wisdom Village. And before that, I was there too when I was young. But like a few years ago, I was up there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. That's the truth.
It's a real person.
That's
and
the truth.
Even the Indians have stories about him because he also went to the Indian country. I think even Paul Green knows
Kayakel
and
the Silk
Story.
A lot of people
even
have heard about
that. Even though he grew up in Cibolina, see?
One time my father and his brother Nusuk, they were telling that story when the moon comes up. Just when he comes out.
Uh-huh.
So he told that story every night when the hunters come back.
Uh-huh.
So when they get through with that story, when they get to with that story, the moon was all gone too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this is what they say in Selwyn, that you could tell the story, the adventures of Kayakel and Mishu for a month, every night.
That's the truth.
Yeah. And this is what he just said. At the new moon, his grandfather started telling the story, and by the time they were through, the end of the moon.
Let
me. They can all our eyes.
Yeah.
That's when you were thinking, they get stuff, and then there's a two people, three people, they're telling a story when the person that kind of tires, and they were taken from first to place. And then they tell the story in 1 month.
Mm-hmm. There's so many other adventures. I think what we need to do is try to get out as much of it, you know, and then mark on the map to travel.
Yeah.
We have to complete that. We also have to complete the life of Manila and also those Yaganek and Chuluk and Pugrabak, those three brothers, mark on the map where they lived and what they did. And there's also a story of the copper man with him.
Nobody knows where they come from. Never been told any story either.
They went up here.
Upatamana, Kivalinum, Nunanga, Sivira Mitra, Igna, Kotiri Kagunik, the Covenant Sphere Hamas. Upatuli, Pivita Karala food we have from now until the 1st of July to still talk about all those historical places and cemetery sites, you know. Samatamatko, Ilitimara Kakpata, Ubuha, Maktong Lewis, Kispata, Sasama, Yanitinayakti.
Sama, Tabranga Tuli, Nabrahami, Petakshama, Tapunanga, Nunani, Makuninga, Makuninga, Kerumni, Kerumni, Tupuni, Kayakati, Nagi, Tapko, Izipangani, Yunasa, Tamara, Yangi, Kinetani, Kinna,
4 by 4
and I got you know, there was a village on the back of Kipolina River, on the North River, Coastal River that goes out to Point Hope. On the North River, at the Kupak, there's two rivers on Kupak too. One comes towards the sea. Mm-hmm. They had a bee down there once, the one Kupak river is like this. Mm-hmm. On this side of that, on the mountain, on top of the mountain, there used to be a village about 6 Indians there, on top of the mountain. Some people been living there way ahead of time, nobody knows that. These posts were sticking up from that place. It was all rock, solid rock.
Mm-hmm.
I know where they come from. Nobody knows it, even in the story. And up in the Pigliang River, on the other side of the mountain, while I was hunting a fox, I saw a big pile like the
Moses thing.
One certain place. And when I go over there to those places, it looks like a number. Looks like 2 by 12, 2 by 6, 2 by 8, but they were all plates. And 2 by 4. Just like that. They pile up on top of each other.
So it was an igloo made out of stone.
That was out of a stone. It was the north side of the Pigliang River.
All right.
On the other side of the hill.
Well, so what then you say about
that? Same thing that what the house is made out of stone, like They didn't call Edward Amos and John Chappell. They didn't find the town of Corona side of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
North side of Mount Hood, High Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Because better what they see than they see what it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's what I heard. That's what he told me. Edward told me. I never seen that.
Let me turn this off for a minute and ask. Percy, in American Indian history, you know Sequoia, they the Cherokee, their alphabet.
Yes,
and I'm sure you know the story of Handsome Lake, the prophet to the Iroquois.
So I'm not too familiar with it right now, but I've read the Sequoia.
All right, now, but I had the letter from my very senior professor suggesting that what we needed to find to pull the group of people together was some prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are the things that would make good motion pictures that would be useful and that would have meaning and give direction.
Yeah, if you're going to make a picture of a prophet, you got Manita.
Ah.
Okay.
This would be
powers were used for good, you know.
All right, then this is the kind of thing.
And then there's also the other side where the Amitok, you know, looked for his power to destroy it and couldn't.
And then this would be a very good legend to make a picture of. And that would be within the line of the things that we can ask for funding for.
And he had sisters who were also descendants of them, like the Custers and the Douglases. You know Herbert Custer?
Yeah.
He's one of the descendants of the Custers, and also the Douglases, the Clevelands. They all know him, and their descendants are still alive, and this is just real person.
And we could come up with something. Maybe, I don't know. You remember the Keystone Lake picture? Whether we could reconstruct, this is what I'm asking, so I can think about planning something, whether we could reconstruct by Bill Parkey, kayak, whether we could reconstruct this, or whether we could do it by animation or parts. But I can certainly go back to Hollywood and find out. How best to make this. But if
this is one of the reasons why we have named our nonprofit corporation Manita.
Uh-huh. Because it was a good...
Yeah. So for one thing, in today's language, Manita means no money, you know, which is no profit, nonprofit. But in the real sense, because we wanted to honor an honorable man
area.
Right, that's
why we
named him. That's right, because the name of Manita. Right, then this becomes even more significant, that you've honored him, like the founding father kind of concept.
Yeah,
he
prophesied that our life, the life of the Eskimos, would get better because these taboos would no longer have a hold on the people, and that they'd be traveling through the air and everything, you know.
And they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think they used to say this right here, if it sounds like that, like a radio. Did anyone tell you about that?
I don't remember.
No.
Go ahead, talk about it.
Come on, tell us.
I mean, we should ask for the couple of people that went around here.
Well, now I heard them say that there were some individuals that up Coba that it was just like having a radio in the house because they were able to go out and communicate.
Yeah. If they got a phone right now, they would just call up the Coba any place, you know, if they got a phone. I heard it that way too, but I'm not sure though. But they've been talking about the airplane will be coming east from east. But that's right, you know. Like coast yet.
Do you see gears grinding in my brain? I do. I feel the gears grinding.
Going around like this. We need to research that with all the people who know the Manita story. because I think the last, there's just one more thing to happen, the whale. And then I think what he said after that was he couldn't see beyond that. What the next episode was beyond that.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one.
Yeah.
That's what they used to say that. After
yeah.
that,
yeah.
you can't see it overhead.
That was the end of his vision.
Now, what does symbolically, the whale is black and rich and fat.
Some of them thought it might be a landing craft that they got up there one time, you know, with freight, you know, because it you let it open and it looks like it opened its mouth and then all the stuff comes out of it, you know, and it was painted black. Now, I don't know if that's what it means or if there literally will be a whale.
I would question whether, in the absence of knowing of a mineral such as oil, he was predicting that something black and rich and fat would come, mm-hmm. which could be the oil. But that's another, is a possible interpretation. When you don't know what something is.
Anyway, he told an exact spot where it would be seen, where it would come up.
He did?
Yeah.
That's worth pondering. Isn't it?
Yes, it is. She keeps reminding me. she's familiar with it. She grew up in North Dakota, and she's lived in Civil War, she's lived in Norway. And she remembers for us today.
Very interesting. How do we best go out to collect those stories?
I think, let's see. Well, For a start, you can look into the work that I did this summer.
Yeah.
It's translated. And I think I translated that portion of it myself. It is Ambler. I translated Ambler myself. Because I felt that portion was important enough to be just as correct as they gave it to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know. We could also probably send tapes to the three villages, Colbuck, Strongmack, and Ambler, and see if they have any other information that wasn't given.
Mm-hmm.
And have them put it on tape to us. You know, we could send them a copy of the information that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
And ask them, do you have any other information for the sequence of his life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Of his movement.
Mm-hmm.
Where he went.
Mm-hmm.
Where he, if we can find out where he said what. And did he have any schooling at all? I wonder.
It would be interesting also to if anybody knows his ancestors.
Yeah. Who his family, who his parents were,
mm-hmm.
grandparents. This is back to your genealogy.
Mm-hmm.
We're on to something. This was a good session this morning. We're on to something pretty good. Yeah, I thought we should. Let's take a little break. That's right. Oh, we can't work.
Thank you. when I made the call, when I made the quit, and all around it. Do you want me to take down for that? You could do
that.
Thank you.